Welcome to our Sonora Playoff Preview Podcast. My name's Tom Thomas, and I'm here with the voices of the Sonora Wildcats, Zeb Drivdahl and Nick Stewart. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Tom.
We're going to talk a little bit about Sonora's season as it happened, and then we're going to look ahead a little bit, obviously, in the playoffs. So let's talk, first of all, a good season thus far. I mean, 8-1 on the year. Exceeded your expectations or pretty much hit them?
Actually, it's called the unhinged success, really. I mean, it kind of exceeded expectations. We've kind of expected last year that maybe you'd see a little bit of a fall off with Alderman and Sells in particular graduating. Team character change a little bit. They're kind of moved from strong to really fast. The results haven't. If anything, they're better. I mean, 8-1, and I don't think they've really had the Hillmar game. Maybe was a challenge at 32-9, but other than that, they've just pretty much been rolling everyone since.
Yeah, that game was a little closer than the score would lead you to believe. I think to double down on what you're saying, Zeb, yeah, a little bit exceeding expectations, I would say, so far in this season. Particularly like Coach Craig, I think it's something we've talked about a lot off the air, sort of taking his team and developing a system around the players that he has instead of trying to force the players that he has into a system he's already developed. You know, we saw him start to spread the field out a little bit more, do a little bit more passing last year. And when they had the players to do it this year, even though they had a lot of changes in their line, they were still able to kind of make some changes in the play calling and update it for this year's players. So not the big loss we thought we'd see, losing like Alderman and Sells on the line.
Let's play a little game of what if. What happens if Sonora plays Oakdale this Friday night?
I think you got a close game. I mean, I'm glad we're not, because I think Oakdale's seated up in D4 and we're down in 6 here. But still, I mean, they play it there. I mean, you think about it, to start the season even, that was, what, a 28-21 loss? I mean, one or two close plays away from it. They hadn't found their footing. Now, to be fair, I'm sure Oakdale's had some changes across the way. But, I mean, overall, we've seen this team come together. I mean, don't want to spoil too much. But one of the things that we've even said all season long is, like, we were kind of looking for is, you know, seeing Kernow hit some of those deep passes. We actually saw a couple of those the other night. If they get that complete passing game together, D6 level in particular, I mean, yeah, they play Oakdale right there. I think you got a very entertaining football game on your hands.
They've gotten better, it seems, each week. They've scored more points. They've scored, you know, in the 55, the 63, 42 a couple of times. So you got to wonder. It's fun to think about, I think. What about this, looking ahead to the Somerville game on Friday? The last time these two teams played, it got a little out of hand, to say the least.
Charitable.
Looking forward now, what did Somerville learn from that game that they can turn into some success in this game?
I think one thing that Somerville learned is they've got to distribute that ball a little bit better. And we saw them do it in the game versus Marysville. They've got to get some of their running backs involved in the play a little bit earlier, kind of get some movement around, spread that ball around. They're not going to be able to go into it kind of relying on one player, because Sonora has the speed and the personnel to kind of put two hats on one person. And so that's going to really change the situation for Somerville.
Yeah, I think exactly what Nick said there. I mean, really, I think the number one thing that if you're the Somerville coaches that you've got to learn from that is that same old isn't going to get it done. They've had enough talent with some of the smaller schools that they've played to be able to run some of that those bread and butter plays, a lot of that stretch play out there, keeping the ball in Leverett's hands. That's not going to be enough against Sonora. They've got way too much speed out there, very well coached, and just running the same thing you've always seen. Even some of their trick plays are ones that are on film all over the place, and Sonora had them sniffed out pretty much the entire time. So you're going to have to come up with something new.
Got it. Let's talk a little bit now about the bracket. At the top of the bracket and number one in the seeding is Sutter. What do we know about them?
They've had a strong program for a number of years. They said they play in the northern part of that CIF San Joaquin section that we're in, so we don't see a lot of common opponents. They've had some really good games in there. Not a lot of common opponents. It's really hard to figure out what we know from them. I know the other team in that bracket that we will see a lot of potentially is Houston. They're one that's going to be in that TVL league that the Wildcats are moving to next year. They only lost by a TD to Escalon, who, as we know from last year's sectionals and in general, perennial powerhouse. They only lost by one to Hillmar, so Houston's another tough one at the top of that bracket. Colfax, they beat Amador, solid but not really a blowout. Rest of the teams in there, you've got Bradshaw Christian versus Union Mine. Union Mine edged out Calaveras, close game there. So kind of a lot of wild cards. It's, you're more looking at that opponents of opponents than anything in there. And does the transitive property hold for math for football? Don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out.
It usually never does.
It somehow doesn't work out that way. I don't know why.
One thing that's going to be really interesting as they face Sutter Creek is going to be that Sutter Creek has a little bit more of a spread the ball around type offense. They're not afraid to throw the ball. And that's something that Sonora hasn't had a chance to defend against too often this season.
Yeah, it's true. The defensive backs haven't been tested a whole lot because, and frankly, it's because that line has been getting so much penetration and not giving the quarterback a lot of time to throw. A
lot of speed, a lot of stunts running off the front there and just using that to kind of get in people's faces, as we saw against what's the Somerville game last week in particular, or 2 weeks ago in particular.
There are a lot of guys on the Sonora team this year who have performed at a very high level. You can think of four or five of them. Who do you think have played at the high level for Sonora, leading them to this 8-1 record?
First, we have to talk about Kernow, of course, as the quarterback. That's really what's allowed the team to throw the ball, move it around, and not become one-dimensional. And then we got to talk about his receivers, starting with the running back, of course. Peoples is sort of their go-to guy, a shorter guy, a lot of fun to watch play, has a really unique style and is a lot of fun to watch. And then on the outside, he's got a couple younger players like Lael and Nicholson, some speed guys, and they're a lot of fun to watch as well. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot of them as we go into playoff football.
Another one who's kind of really stepped up from that young crew and made a big impact this year, Cash Byington, who I believe is a sophomore, only a sophomore this year, and we've seen him in the return game. He's taken two punts to the house already this year, had an interception return for a touchdown, and again, just brings that speed. I mean, I think I was talking to one of the Sonora coaches at one point, realized that there are three of the top five finishers at the district track meet are on the Wildcats football team. So, and you definitely see that with Nicholson, Byington. I'm sorry, I forget who the other one is in there, but you definitely see so much of that speed out there, and that's really a lot of the key what's gotten them to a high level. And yeah, again, the line play in there, you know, Cruzy is another one who's been in there, just really kind of gumming up the middle of that line. Gibbs, another one who's been in there some. A lot of guys in there, but it's, I think, for the offense, like you're talking about, it's that big three. Nicholson with the speed on the outside, Peoples on the interior, and then Kernow running that option over, the three who really made that offense click.
And, of course, all going into the playoffs very healthy, which is a very unusual thing, even for high school football, to go in the playoffs with a team where you don't have a lot of people wearing their jersey and no pads on the sideline.
Yeah. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that Audie Peoples looked like he had very fresh legs because he'd been out for a couple of weeks, and he looked terrific when he came back.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of the season. He did miss a little time, and I think it was week four or five. He missed a little time in there. But since then, I mean, like Nick said, even last year when we got to this stage of the season, you had a couple guys for the Wildcats. I think Nicholson was one who was already a little hobbling a little bit. A couple other of the receivers. And this year, you just, you know, knock on wood, you just don't see it. So they're going in there fully armed and ready to go.
That does kind of raise the other question, though, which is that then when they get in the playoffs, we are also watching a team that hasn't played a full game of football with their starters in about 5 or 6 weeks.
So just crazy as you get into one thing in here, we've gotten into this. I haven't actually done a Nick Stewart fun fact yet, Tom. I mean, it's kind of the thing we do every week.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, you could do it. Sure.
Fun fact about Nick Stewart. Did you know he runs a coffee shop right here in Sonora?
I did.
I think that was a leading question. We've seen you in there. So.
I think there's a wing of the coffee shop named after me now.
At this point, we've got it in there. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that out. That yeah, if you love, you know, like some good food, some good coffee, waffles, and all that, come on up, Knox Coffee, 63 North Washington Street. Talk football with Nick and myself. We hang out there Monday through Friday, 7:30 till 1.
Yeah, unless you don't agree with us.
Yeah, if you don't agree with the football, then it just gets more exciting.
Well, but you're still going to buy something, right?
Yeah, we'll probably make you buy something.
You're back in.
Knowing you two, you charge double.
don't give away our business secrets, Tom.
All right. So what players need to have big games in the playoffs for the Sonora Wildcats to go deep into the playoffs?
Right off the bat, Kernow. So it's something they've started to develop in the last few weeks. He's got to get that throwing game going. There have been a lot of misconnections that are trying to get that fired up, and he's got to come up big when they go into the playoffs, especially if they want to go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's cliche to say it because, I mean, it starts with the quarterback, but it always does. I mean, it is someone who's in there. And it's not to say he hasn't played well this season. He's managing the run game like a champ. The fakes are in there. The turnovers have been low. But it's, can he hit those passes downfield you'll need as the competition gets tougher? And we saw that, again, it was a really positive development from the Somerville game because even in some of the other big blowouts they had, just missed a couple of those deep balls or even some of the shorter connections. He saw we hit that, I think it was like a 50-yard bomb to Nicholson in that last Somerville game, and that was a really, really important kind of development for their offense. And it kind of leads into another player who I think, name we haven't said much, but I think could step up big for them, Wyatt Holt on the receiving. Big, tall kid out on the edge there. We've seen him emerge as a receiving option. I mean, all season they've been kind of – last year we had Pimentel and Franklin. Those are the two guys on the outside. Mm-hmm. You heard their names a lot. We haven't really had that consistent receiving threat this season, and I think Holt was starting to emerge as that. And if he can hit Nicholson out of the slot there on some of those routes and then Holt out on the edge there, Kernow and Holt and Nicholson there, right, getting that passing game going, you'll just see this offense go to another level.
Body-wise, Holt reminds me of Pimentel quite a bit.
Very much so. You know, big, tall, fast kid, got some strength.
Go up and get it. Good catch radius, as they say. So, yeah, very exciting. And he's young, too, right?
Yeah. I believe he's a junior, if I remember correctly. I'd have to double-check that. But
I think another name, too, in that same category, Byington. Mm-hmm. We've seen him get some of these quick pitches and kind of try to extend the play, stretch it out to the side. But I think as they go deeper in the playoffs, he's going to need to start making some receptions.
And then, of course, just that, again, that crew that's been performing all season. I mean, that 1-2 punch in the run game inside and outside. Peoples on the inside, Nicholson on the outside. Got to keep playing at that top level.
What about special teams? The kicking has been extraordinary.
Yeah, we've given him that player of the game after he hit, I think, 8 extra points in a row in that one of those games there. But yeah, it's a very good point, Tom, because it is, you, again, as you said, every time as these things, every little bit of that game becomes more and more important as these tighten up. Mm-hmm. And that will, it is kind of a question mark, because as you said, I think you said earlier, Nick, they haven't really been tested all season. So how are they going to do in there? I think Coach Craig does a good job of getting them to keep their heads in these games, because it is tough to manage. It's high school kids. Yeah. With that constant blowout to keep it in there. And I think he does an excellent job of keeping their heads in the game. And that's going to be another key to it is, again, as you said, getting that the extra points and potentially, you never know, a field goal may come down. It's your biggest dream and your worst nightmare as a kicker.
Right.
All wrapped up into one.
On the other side of special teams, Nick, you know, you've got Cash Byington, who's done such a great job returning punts and kickoffs this year. What a weapon.
Yeah, but he is a bit of a gambler. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was pretty hungry early on in the season, didn't get a chance to return a lot of balls. And that's, I think, kind of put him in a position where he's very excited, maybe even a little too excited to return some of those balls. He's definitely taken some and tried to bring them back when he had already a defensive player right in his face. And I'm sure Coach Craig was pretty tightened up over there on the sideline, wishing he would have just let that ball go out of bounds.
I think we were talking about it this morning, and I think one of the things we've seen is that if you're Coach Craig, I'm pretty sure that Bryce Nicholson has become really good friends with Cash Byington over the year, because Nicholson came up as a sophomore, had an oopsie in a big moment, and so, you know, now is one of the captains and the leaders of that team. And so if you want to talk about a guy who can go there, Cash Byington, and tell him, hey, I know you want to return that, but let me tell you, when it goes wrong, it can go badly. I know from experience.
Right.
So, you know, definitely not a knock on Nicholson, but I think it's one of those learning things that those older guys can help the younger guys in there. It's not just your coach saying that. It's one of your teammates telling you, like, yeah, I know, don't be careful back there.
Right. I got out my calculator, and I added up the scoring for Sonora and their opponents this year.
Oh, boy.
The Wildcats have scored 386 points. Their opponents have scored 78.
Yeah, that tracks about with the...
That's about how it feels watching the games, I would say,
too. It does feel like that, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah. There's been a running clock a few times, too.
Yeah.
There have been a few times where there should have been a running clock and wasn't, too.
Yeah. And there have been a lot of times where that whole second half was played against the second string of the Wildcats, you know, which is great. Gave a chance for a lot of these young guys to just come up on the team and usually would just be sitting on the pine for most of the season to get out there and get some touches, so...
Yeah, and it gets you a lot of those depth options. I mean, one guy we've talked about actually as well, I mean, Austin Craig comes in there. You know, one of those, you know, it sometimes can be used in a negative connotation, but it's definitely not, you know, that just a guy, solid contributor, but he is. He's a solid contributor. He doesn't fumble. He holds it. He keeps everyone cool around him. And you see guys like that getting more and more reps. that's only good for you. Spell your starters, give the solid guys behind them in there another chance to step up and contribute.
Yeah, Nick was saying the team is pretty much healthy, but, you know, that can change in an instant going into a playoff
game. Bad play.
Yeah, so nice to know that you've got some depth. You've got some younger guys who have gotten some significant playing time, some experience, and maybe the jitters are going to be lessened a little bit. Speaking of jitters, you're not going to have much jitters when you go to Knox Coffee Shop, right?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I think Nick, we do. There is a rule out there about how much cold brew we can serve you per time, but
yeah, we do limit you to 16 ounces of cold brew. Otherwise, you will get some. You'll get some jitters.
Get the jitters.
Or you're just a tougher person than I am.
But if you're going to have a heart attack, that's a great way. If you're going to have a heart attack or a stroke, that's right. A way to go. I mean, it's quality coffee up there.
Talking football with the boys. 63 North Washington. That's the home of Knox Coffee Shop. Want to thank you guys for participating, for bringing us the podcast. Before we wrap things up, though, let's get a little playoff preview from each of you. Who's going to win? Let's have some predictions.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about the big game, obviously, is the next one in front of you. If you're talking about that for December, they'll have a chance. Of course they do. This is high school football. Things go wrong. If they're going to pull that off, I mean, they need a perfect storm of things going wrong to make that happen. You need to see some early turnovers. We saw last game there were some penalties. Things got a little chippy. There was some consistent ball movement from that. They need some passing game success. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, you'd need.
I think the only thing that can really go wrong for Sonora in that game is themselves. If they allow the game to become chippy again and they start to get a lot of penalties and give up a lot of yards there, they gave up in total 45 yards because of some of those chippy plays in the first game that they had. And I don't think they probably had too much time to cool down with just 2 weeks in between games.
And again, with the playoff intensity, only going to get more in there. So, I mean, I think that's if you're Somerville, that's the way you're trying to go in there. That said, we asked for a prediction. I just don't see that happening, though. The talent and especially the speed on Sonora is so high. Wildcats by 28.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's really, I think, going to be Wildcats by 28. I would have called the exact same score, so I'm not going to take that bet against you.
Yeah, I'll have to find something else to fight over.
Mike and Mike, the Somerville broadcaster, say you're absolutely wrong. So I'd expect nothing less. Let's talk about predictions for the bracket. Can the Sonora Wildcats win the bracket, win Division 6?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to them versus Sutter, and I think the Wildcats have a very, very good chance of taking it all.
I mean, I take that to some extent. I'd say Sonora versus Sutter for the title. I mean, anything less than a sectional championship, I mean, just from the talent level we've seen from them playing these teams this year, anything less than a section title appearance and probably win is a disappointment for them at this point. I mean, again, if I look at that bracket, my biggest concern for Sonora is not their own talent level. It's that they haven't really been tested this year. Other than that Oakdale game. So how are they going to react when it's a tight game in there? But what we've seen from them in the past, I mean, that was true to a large extent of last year's team as well, wasn't really tested after they had the Oakdale game, they had that Antelope game, and then they got to that section title game. It was the first time they'd been tested in 6 weeks, and they played them down to the wire in a one-point game.
Yeah, and you wonder how much that's going to resonate or stay with them from last year, too. I mean, it's a whole new team. We know that. But there are still some guys that are held over who know the pain of losing at the last minute like that. So you wonder if that's going to give them that extra little bit of bounce when they head into the playoffs.
For sure.
They're definitely going to have to find a way to use that as motivation to, you know, not sleep on any of these teams, because, of course, that's something else that can really hurt them, is just not preparing properly, kind of assuming that they're going to get the win and then finding themselves in trouble. We almost saw Somerville do that in the game against Marysville. Right. They allowed them to get up by 1 point just before halftime.
Right. 7 o'clock Friday night, Dunleavy Field. The Somerville Bears take on the Sonora Wildcats in the second round of the playoffs, and you'll be able to listen to the game on KVML 1450 AM and FM 102.7, and it's with Zeb Drivdahl and Nick Stewart, our two terrific announcers for the game. We hope that you can tune in, and guys, been a pleasure. Thanks so much, and we look forward to game after game after game in the playoffs.
The more the better.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying listening to us now, because we're going to be around for a little while, I think, Tom.
Hopefully. I think we had good odds that we'll be invading your Friday night for a few more weeks at least.
Oh, boy. So there's your fair warning. Okay. Our Sonora football playoff preview has been brought to you by Knox Coffee Shop. Thanks very much, guys.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
Appreciate it, Tom.